Hello everyone. Again, we are now completing the article Kabbalah as compared to other sciences. And we are at a section, one moment, promotion of science. Kabbalah as compared with other sciences, section promotion of science. It turns out that the representatives of a conventional science aspire to recognition. They take pains to present their science in such a way that it would be accepted by the popular masses. Everything gets promoted through the masses because they constitute the core of humanity. This does not refer to the outstanding and selfless scientists, although even they are bound to advertise their sciences in order to receive appropriation for their development. So what happens in the end is that science develops and begins to require a great deal of strength and means, resources that scientists don't have to begin with. That is why they need to sell science in return for money in order to continue with the research and development. And that's what Aristotle said, that it is forbidden to sell science to people who still do not have a desire for science but still have a corporal spirit for money and honor, because then they will use science to harm others. And that's what we see today. Today we're not even talking about that. Today it is very clear for any scientist that they have to work not for science but for the market. All of science is ordered by people who want greater powers, more honor, knowledge, and instead of raising science above all other human desires, although it is the summit of human development, it becomes a servant. So all other human desires are fed by science. And so one uses science for lower needs than the desire for knowledge. We might say that without science we would not develop medicines, we would not develop the conditions that we have right now for providing food for the entire world. Well, if we couldn't do that, we wouldn't multiply. That's not the answer. The thing is that every desire must serve its own degree in the next degree for spiritual development. Desires that are physical desires, food, sex, family, home, things that the body desires, the body requires. We must use them for ourselves as much as we need it. And the rest, is for development not as a part of society, for development of higher social desires, which are money, honor, and knowledge. So, money, we should use money to develop for toward higher degree desires, and this is how it is. It should be, not the other way around. We should use everything according to the necessity of it, the physical fulfillments and fulfillments from money and honor and knowledge. We should use each desire and each achievement as it is necessary, and the rest for development for higher desires. That's what did not happen with science. Well, it happened with all human desires, but especially with science. And that is why we see today that the development of the situation in the world is working against us. In the beginning of human development, Aristotle warned scientists not to sell science, not to accept students who could do that. That's what Bala Salam says in his introduction to the Tree of Life. Introduction to Bani Mirot and Musbirot. That's it. What? What does it mean? What does using a desire only as much as it is necessary and the rest given for the next degree, what does that mean? The thing is that if one arranges one's desires correctly, one finds that in any situation, any degree, there is a habde elyon. That's what it's called. And there is always my situation, my current situation, the desire I'm in right now, that I live in, and the beginning of the development of a higher need. Not a greater need, desire, but a higher one, more sublime. Just like the mother says to her child, why do you want to play, I don't know, soccer? Read a book. Stop playing with soccer or with marbles. Open a book. Do something smarter. You don't say to a child things that it doesn't have, but you want it to make an effort and choose of all the desires it has, well, to make an effort. To make an effort to choose a higher desire, chatzon. And to give it some extra desires, to give it higher importance than for lower desires, which are natural. Yes, I want this by naturally. So, you think that when you grow, your nature will be to open a book, and something else will be above my nature, which will require effort. So this is how it goes all the time. It happens like that because of the concatenation from above downward. All the degrees, the lower one, the inferior, comes from the superior in such a way that Habdelion is in Vulgalta and I'm the Tachton. And that's how we develop. We must constantly prefer, and we can, and we have the preparation and the forces for it, the society around us, upbringing, some education. We have the ability to go from natural desires to a Habdelion in me, to a higher need, a higher desire. Higher desires might be for money or honor, but it's higher. It is of higher quality than before, than my natural desire. How much should I use my current desire, and how much should I use my higher desire? They say that in the current desire I should use it because it is your natural desire. You're still nourished by it, so you have to use it as much as it is necessary for you. And everything else is done in order to acquire a higher need, and then your development is maximized. That's it. It can never be that you will have or work on a higher need so as to afterwards satisfy lower needs. That's not in the direction of development. But because we are not drawn for corrections to develop toward a certain goal, sublime goal, we use higher desires to have better achievements, and with them go back down to lower things and use them. Use them for the lower needs. And it is most clearly evident in science what happened with knowledge. What does Aristotle says? Let's say, what did he tell scientists of his time? Be careful with your students. Take only those that have no other desires but for knowledge. That'll be their natural desires. We've already developed to that level. And not that their natural desires will be for money or honor or knowledge or power, because then they'll study and increase their knowledge in order to satisfy their natural desires. For example, to attain power or honor or money. And science is very powerful. It increases human ability many times over. So of course they can succeed, but then they ruin the world and they want to buy the world and possess the world. But science is not for that. Science is the last phase of human development, so that when a person comes to science and have a desire to only the desire to know about the world he's in, when one wants to know the world, and through asking what is the world and what I am in it, through it one should find the desire for the shoish, for the root, for godliness, because the answer for it is knowing the Creator. not turning backwards to start satisfying desires from honor or money or some corporal desires, anime desires. But we see how it developed. Science is completely practical. Everything is only to benefit people in this world. And the highest profession in this world is for lower needs. For inferior needs. And that is why we see no benefit from science. Because its benefit is like any inferior degree, which is serving the superior degree. That's the right direction. The steel should serve the vegetative, the animate, the animate. Speaking and speaking, the creator. These are the corrections. And we see that it's like that naturally. The vegetative are fed by the still, the flora, they get their nourishment and they grow inside them, on the top of them. The animate eats plants, the vegetative, the flora, and serves humans. And humans, who are fed by all three inferior levels, serve the Creator. If everything follows that direction, then there is a development of Shefa, abundance, from above downwards, and the world reaches its correction, its purpose. In today's development, when all our development is reaching a dead end at all the areas, all channels, we come to the recognition of evil. That the development was wrong. And that it must first and foremost be with the question, what for? It must first be a spiritual development, internal, moral development, ethical. With a question about its purpose. Why am I practicing science and everything? In other words, the scientist has to be at the same level of the science he's dealing with in his desires. And only afterwards study. When people research in this manner, they will feel that they have further to develop, because development beyond what we have today will be only by changing ourselves, not changing our instruments or there will not be inventions, so to speak. The opening of the world before scientists will be by inner changes of the scientists themselves. Yes. Yes. should there be a limitation in the desire for spirituality as there is in the desire for money? Aspiration for spirituality, should it be like wanting knowledge or money or other things? Limited? Yes, of course. But the limitation in that case is also a purposeful limitation, because what is the desire for spirituality? It's the same desire as the previous desires. Physical needs, things the body requires, demands, and desires for money, honor, and knowledge. And the desire for spirituality. The thing is not the desire itself, but the direction of its development. All right, Aaron and Semyon are going to the Congress in Germany right now. Oh, in Vienna. They have a Congress of all German speakers from all the German speaking countries. I wish them all the best. And let's hope that it goes well and produces further development and bonding. Good luck to them. So we'll go back to the question. These desires that develop in us can develop by two elements. Elements that pull forward to the goal, called development by way of Torah. When I look for a way to develop the desires from small in quality, small, to a greater one, or I can do it by pain. When I work on my desires and see that the results of using it are bad. It's called recognition of evil. And then I go from a bad use to a perhaps better use, and so on and so forth. The desires in and of themselves are neither good nor bad. The purpose, how we use them, can be good or bad for me. It's always for me. It is always about the person with a desire. According to what we learn of reality, all the desires that awaken in us, go through us, they awaken in us in order to raise us to the highest levels, so that all our desires will eventually be like the desire of the Creator. Until I come to that desire, I'm still developing. And development can either be done by Torah, as we said, meaning by choosing a higher and better desire, then I advance quickly and effectively. Or I advance by pain, yes. I wait until I understand that it's bad for me and I have no choice and I have to replace one desire with another. And this is how it is in any desire. It doesn't matter if it's a desire for something corporal or for money or honor or knowledge or spirituality. There is no difference. The only difference is that in spiritual desires, I begin to want the root, the Creator. This desire can also be in order to receive, called Lo Lishma. And from Lo Lishma we have to switch to Lishma, and in Lishma too we have many degrees and development. But all in all, how the phases of the development are the same. If we look at the entire process, prior to spirituality, I don't know how I develop. And if I don't have Kabbalah, I don't have teachers, advisors who can tell me that I should do this and not that, see how the world is built, and can somehow direct me correctly. Then, of course, I develop in these phases and these desires of corporal, animate desires and money and honor and knowledge. I develop through pain. That's what's been happening for thousands of years now to humanity. But now that humanity has reached its final stages of worldly desires, why in general, you might say, look at that, maybe 80% of humanity is look at their desires, they want nothing more than money. If we look at the numbers, then of course, out of 8 billion, maybe 7 billion want nothing more than to get along and some money. Another 500 million want some honor, and maybe 1 million people want spirituality out of all mankind. But humanity is built like a pyramid. So if you take the entire pyramid into account, and it's built very wide pyramid, okay? It's a wide-based pyramid. Yes, if you have 1 million people who are somehow interested in spirituality, and the rest, billions of people who take interest in corporeality, it's unimportant. It's already got the shape. That's what it means, that humanity has reached a final development of the collective recognition of evil. It developed to that point in the path of pain. And now it'll recognize its development as a bad development. There'll be a few more blows and a few more discoveries, and it'll happen. But still, we're talking about a path of Torah, a path of pain, only with respect to a force that forces us to go from degree to degree, either one takes interest in the books and wants to develop and looks for an environment that develops us, or we don't want it and then we advance by pain. But in any case, we develop. We don't have a choice because the law pressures us to develop, and with every single desire, current desire, there's always within it the higher desire that we have to choose, either willingly or unwillingly. Fixing up off the microphone. Yes. What does it mean that the human degree should serve godliness? What does it mean that human degree should serve godliness? According to the levels, still vegetative, animate, speaking, and above it, godliness. What does it mean, serving godliness? Serving godliness means that the desire of humans should rise to be supporting holding the degree of godliness. Every lower degree, every inferior degree is inferior by its in its own nature, but if it wants to resemble a higher level, how does an inferior resemble itself to the superior? Not by growing. Growth in spirituality in general is done by a qualitative change. How one becomes creator-like by changing one's desire to in order to bestow. We don't have to intensify, increase our desires. Yes, they will grow, but the equivalence, ishtavut, is in the tzua, in the form. It should adopt the same form. All one's desires should take the form of bestowal. So, one can do that and must do it. And by adopting all the means available, all the conditions, by that it turns out that we take from the steel, from the vegetative, from the animate, all their desires, accumulate them, gather them inside ourselves along with our own desires, and then by turning them in order to bestow, it's as though we take the entire nature, entire collective desire that the Creator created, by that we get the same form, the same image as the Creator. It is called serving the Creator. Yes. Lev, I see a contradiction here. We said that on the one hand, Aristotle said, do not disclose the wisdom to indecent people. On the other hand, what does it mean to be drawn to a higher level? No. It is exactly that. Aristotle said not to tell the wisdom to indecent people, meaning to those who will sell it, who will trade it, meaning they will swap their achievements in knowledge, in science. They will trade it for lower desires that they really want, for satisfying lower desires. But it's not that they will not want to develop to higher things. It speaks about inferior desires. If I begin to own some knowledge and know the consequences of it, and at the same time I want power, authority. So I use what I know in science to gain power. That's called trading. It's called selling to an inferior desire. But for a superior desire, of course you have to do it. That's how we develop. So you should never go down. That's what's not clear. You define the path of Torah that if I'm at my level and want a higher level, that's the path of Torah. So my current level is low, and when I'm unnaturally drawn to a higher degree, then I get something of it, but I still remain in a low level. Whereas this assurance that with my new attainments I will not fall to a lower degree, not fall back. You are taking yourself as an example. How I approach Kabbalah and study it, his wisdom speaks about lofty things, sublime things that I can afterwards use for lower things. First of all, you're not getting anything from Kabbalah. That's why it's called the wisdom of the hidden. It is hidden from the individual, and you can study it because it opens to a person this wisdom only according to one's preparation. Only once the Creator testifies that you will not turn back to your bad evil nature, Until then, you will not feel or enjoy any spiritual fruit, any discovery. Only to the extent of your spiritual development, the acquisition of screens, asachim, powers, when it becomes your nature, that you cannot go down from, that the O, the light, the Creator that opens to you, sustains you, and by that the Creator becomes a witness. He testifies that you will not fall. He holds you by opening. To that extent, you acquire spiritual forces, and to that extent, you own the degree and you own spiritual force. Correction comes first, and then fulfillment. And then control and power in the degree. That's how it is with spiritual development. That's why any person can study Kabbalah and use it. It is as Baal HaSulam says, you cannot trade it in the market. Anything that you acquire except Kabbalah can be swapped here or traded. You can. You can always swap one with the other. Scientists want to eat. Those who have honor need money in order to buy honor. You can't help it. But spirituality, Kabbalah, all the wisdom of spirituality, gives you no physical or human benefit. Any human desires or worldly desires will never be fulfilled by Kabbalah. And that's why you can't trade it. What will you sell? What will you explain? What will you say? And who needs it? Only people who feel bad need it, who already have to go out and look for spiritual fulfillment. So it's not a problem to take your achievements in Kabbalah back to them. The fact that these things happened in history with the development of religions and other such things, that is because there was a higher need for this kind of corruption, like the breaking of the vessels. It's not natural, it is from above downward. It is not by development from below upwards. I don't want to talk about development of religions. Does it mean that he who starts with studying Kabbalah, who comes here, is now ready to receive it according to his degree and has a point in the heart? Yes, of course, those who come here, maybe he might consider it an accident or a chance. One might not know why he's here or how he got here, or cannot or justify what happens, explain it. But we do many things in life without knowing or understanding, without the awareness of why we do things. Because in the end, we're half dreamers in this world. That's how we exist. Without understanding where we are, without understanding what we're doing, we just exist like that by all kinds of impulses. But still, we have to say that a person who's here was brought from above. Of course, the rest depends on us. But if we're here, then that was a will from above for that person to come closer to the truth. And now it is for us to strengthen ourselves in that. As Baal HaSulam in item 4 in Talmud HaSosfirot, the Creator puts one's hand on the good fortune and says, take this. and it is for us to activate our efforts to strengthen ourselves in the way, because as soon as the Creator gives us this chance, He then begins to give us obstructions to strengthen us more and more and more and more and more, so that we acquire the forces and the understanding, realization of where we are and how to advance in that direction. And this is our own choice, to add more efforts to sustain and not be thrown off track. But the fact that the Creator opens up the way and says, you should take it, this comes from above. That's how we should regard each and every member. Do we continue? Concealment of the wisdom of Kabbalah. The Kabbalists never tried to advertise their science in society, because a person approaches this wisdom under compulsion of an inner call. Only then does one become ready to disregard the bodily desires, material welfare, and society's recognition. In the past, Kabbalists never shared their method with the general public because they believed that the science of revelation of the upper force can only be given to those who correctly understand it. Otherwise, the revelation of the essence of Kabbalah would deprive the society of the opportunity to enjoy dissipation, wealth, power, and esteem that are so highly valued by it. As long as the public continues taking pleasure in depravity, riches, and power and esteem, recognition in the society, and is not ready to give them up in exchange for establishing contact with the upper force, it should be allowed to do so, because by seeking pleasures, people grow and develop until they begin to aspire for the spiritual. Therefore, nowadays, when the society as a whole becomes disenchanted and in the aforementioned delights and is inwardly prepared to contact the upper force, the wisdom of Kabbalah reveals its essence and purpose to the general public. That's why Baal HaSulam says that we must open schools and advertise Kabbalah among the people, as he wanted to do with his newspaper, The Nation. Matan Torah, the articles that he wrote and wanted to publish. He wanted to write 50 such articles. We only have 5. He was not permitted, so he said, the generation is not worthy, I will not write anymore. Look at what we lost. Nowadays, we come to a state where we are obliged to advertise the knowledge of Kabbalah, so that every person who reaches a level, a degree, a development of having a question about spirituality, about what is beyond our corporal and human nature, who ask about the meaning of our lives, the origin of our lives. It is a question that relates to the Creator already. What is the meaning of my life? Meaning, where am I from? What am I for? And why am I here? Every person, wherever they are, if they have that question, they should have the ability to open this question up and through it come to an answer. And this is something that we have to do. By that, we will accelerate the development of the world so that these people will not look or deal with other things, but their desires that have already come to a spiritual search will bring them further in the right direction. This is our purpose in circulation. Yes. Can inner tension be because of contradiction in desires between physical and spiritual? Where do our inner tensions come from? It comes from the struggle between my current desire and the Ahabdelion, the higher desires. By nature, of course, we want to remain in our current situation. And as Bhagavatam defines it, the press of development forces us, compels us to go to a higher, to switch to higher desires. But we do not want to. But we have no choice. We're pressed. And as a result, we're constantly tense. This tension is only until the moment when we can prefer the higher need over the inferior need. So how can we help ourselves in this case to choose a higher, the superior need? Bhagavatam says only through society. That's our only choice. How can I choose superior need? Then we discover that we cannot do it. You know what? I'm better off dead than alive. You can kill me, but I cannot ascend or transcend. I can't. These are my desires. I know that they're bad, but I'm willing to remain in them, even if I die. There are no strength in us to choose higher desires. I know them. I know what they are, but they are still not my desire. It's like a child. He doesn't want to go to school. What are you going to do with it? Buy him all kinds of things. You can't. Here, we never have the powers to go from our own desires to the desire of the Ahabdelion. Because if you're in a certain degree, then you're in it, period. You can't jump over your head. You have to choose an environment, a society that is above your head, where your highest desire is a natural desire for them. Society is already in the degree of your Ahab, of the superior Ahab de Leon. So when you enter them, they give you forces, desires. They give you the notion of how profitable it is to adopt a higher desire, and it doesn't cost you any effort. By yourself, you are incapable of doing it, and through society, you do it easily. That comes because we are connected as one soul in the structure of a Dhammacharya and so on. But this is our only choice to in ascending and reaching the goal to transcend from my current degree to a higher level through society, because by myself I can never raise myself from myself to a higher level. These are futile efforts that will never succeed. Yes. On the other hand, an environment with a lower or inferior desire can pull me downwards. Yes, and it comes from the same principle. We are one soul, and if I mingle in a certain level of society, I become like them. It doesn't matter which level. It's like Rabbi Yossi ben Kismo didn't want to go to another city where people were inferior. Because even though he was the greatest in his generation, he says, I go into a city without sages, I'll be like them. How can that be? He says, well, I can't help it, it's nature. You will cage you, will protect you, you'll be above us, but I'll still be in your environment, and that's it. The environment will make of me you. That's how it is. That's why the choice is only the environment. There is no other means to go from one degree to another, either from down upwards or from above downwards. We also have the example of Bala Sulam. I can't hear what he's saying. Bala Sulam and no Kabbalist. I don't know, you've heard stories about Kabbalists who were isolated. They isolated themselves somehow. They did not jump into the public. They studied secretly or humbly. Well, there was help from above also. The Creator made the public, the nation, the Creator made them hate Kabbalists and disrespect Kabbalists. It helped them remain isolated. This is a guard from above. It's not like that people were bad because they hated Kabbalists. It's very good that they hated them, but that they helped them remain in their unique way. Now that we teach it scientifically like that, we are also declining to the people. Now that we're speaking to the people, are we not also dropping to the level of the nation, of the people, ordinary people? Well, you're saying there's danger in that, and this is a legitimate argument. I know many people who practice Kabbalah and say that. They say you're going to deal with other people in the world instead of shutting yourself up somewhere with maybe a few people and from this and live off this number of people and be a closed society. It seems like a just argument because you're mingling with public audience, you begin to perhaps live according to their desires, and you weaken and mix your desires, and who knows what it does to you and how it works on you and inside you and your desires and your thoughts. Perhaps it is partially true, but it is the calling of the time. I am certain that nowadays, as Bala Sulam wrote in Time to Act, in every article, it is no longer possible for a person to have a degree without serving the public, serving the public's spiritual progress. We are not living in a time where, as it was in the past, where humanity did not have to have spirituality in order to save itself. At that time, Kabbalah was hidden indeed, and Kabbalists did it in secret, in hiding, and did not even dream about going out to the streets and publicizing it. This whole thing began from our return to the land of Israel, and we're given all the signs of the last redemption in the physical, and we, by that, were obliged to discover it inwardly, either in a good way or in a bad way, God forbid. This is the entire Torah of all the latest Kabbalists, Baal HaSulam, Rabash, Rav Kook. That's what they told us to do. But if it weren't for the calling of the time, as Baal HaSulam writes in about the giving in Matan Torah, that there was a given from above but we didn't receive from below and so on, that we have to do it without that, of course you're right, we should have closed ourselves like all Kabbalists at every time we went in our little corner somewhere, just study for ourselves, and that's it. That's how it was, and today it will be completely futile. Not for those who study, and certainly not for the world and for the general public. Yes. I'm asking about the simplification of the material that we're doing. Do we have some kind of authorization to do that simplification? Look, if this simplification is like an explanation during the lesson in order to bring us back to the sources and show us what's written there and give us some kind of grip to the origin from which onwards we can go deeper in, then this simplification is necessary for the beginner. When I look at a guy like you, who grew up, who was born and grew up here in Israel, and lived here for 20 or 25 years, and you come to a class here and cannot read the origin in Hebrew, even read it, much less understand it. So I have to give such a person a key, something external, something intellectual, to hold on to the material. Afterwards, just to get you in there, like a worm, you will look for the interior, for the places, for the channels to live inside there. But to get into that apple of wisdom, I have to give people a key, a way in, an inlet, and that's what I do. If we were able to approach each article, each page in that manner, we would not need any additional means. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, when I come to people who are very far from even reading the origins and in Hebrew, who are immersed in all kinds of teachings and other businesses, other dealings, and I understand that knowing our world, not the upper worlds, will help them better understand where they are. And entice their points in the heart to awaken more quickly. So, of course, instead of bringing them an article about Asalam, who's writing, and elaborate explanations and examples and so on, are in such a way that they cannot read it or open it or understand it. So, the least I can do is to tell them about things in this world, as Bala Salam writes, about Avot, the wisdom of Kabbalah and philosophy, about man's work in this world, about the structure of this world, the structure of our desires and how they develop, all these things. It talks about the nature of this world. So when you can explain it to them in a language that they understand, what's wrong with it? By that you promote them to the right decisions. You do not open before them concealed things. Just like in psychology and physiology and physics, you open for them the map to the world, to this world. The picture of where they are right now, today. There is no revelation of any higher secrets or anything. You just give them the knowledge of where they are and who they are. How else is it possible? Bala Salam answers these questions. He says that as much as we can ask these ancient sages who hid the wisdom and did not let it develop, and left the nation scraping the walls. He explains that your arguments come because you compare what was before and what we do right now. That is the root for the question. Why before they hid it and today we advertise it? Time causes. Are we done with the article?